How's everybody doing? I know. Happy Friday, though. Happy Friday. Hope you guys are doing okay this Friday. Good. My mic is on. Everything's working great. I'm happy to see that. How's your week been? Mine's been busy. Obviously, we've been super busy the last couple of days. So it's been a great, great week, though, as we enter into October. Last day of the month. Hot dog. Hot dog. So right on. Praise God. So as we help you step into October, front runner and intercessor. Hopefully this one's not going to be too rough on you, but I do want to let you know, I said it on Tuesday, with every counter, as we came out of the high holy days, there is a counteraction from the enemy. And so today is going to be more about you maintaining your position, more about you learning how to not get riled up by. Thank you so much. Glad you liked that. That's really fun. I got these little things, these background things. I think it's fun, right? It's a lot of fun. But yeah, right. So we're learning to take the enemy and just walk through muddy fire. That's what it feels like. We're walking through muddy fire right now. I don't know about you. That's what it feels like to me. Muddy fire. I know it's a crazy kind of an analogy, but that's really what it feels like is going on right now. It's muddy fire. And so I told you about C2. C2 is very, very difficult to walk through because you're dealing with strange fire versus Holy Ghost fire. So what you're doing is you've entered into the fiery part of God's heart. Now, this is really actually, it's the spiritual part where you're entering into the seven spirits of God. But you actually step into this place now where you're entering into the fight between going back to Egypt or progressing higher into your best sense of self, which is the fight, that's called the fight between the serpent and the eagle. So today's title is this. It's called Freed, Living in Truth, and Yielding to God's Spirit, Yielding to God's Will, which is actually really, really, it's really interesting as I get into this. So it feels like as we enter into October that we're actually, again, walking through muddy fire. But it's really because of the actual place our country's in right now, too. So they're throwing everything at us in the kitchen sink. It's kind of like Custer's last stand, if you will, where everybody's discouraged. And they prophesied this. They said this would happen where, I'm so sorry, they said that we would start getting into this place as Americans. We'd be thinking that it was all lost. Everything was just all lost. Well, I don't know about you, but the God I serve is a happy ending God. And I know the God I serve is a man who can't lie. Thank you, Lord. But I don't know where I put that, Lord. But he's also a God who can't lie. And he's a God who finishes what he starts. He's a God who actually keeps his word. And so we're coming into this place now. I don't know about you. He's had us decree a thing, decree a thing, decree a thing. We're starting to see now the place where we've come out of. And hopefully your decreeing has brought you up out of your immaturity and into the place of maturity, a higher sense of self, a higher place of faith. And that was the purpose of learning to decree a thing. But the other part of decreeing a thing is learning to stand on the word and learning to trust the Lord and know that he's a God that can't lie. He's a God that finishes what he starts. He's a God that is good for his word, that he doesn't lie when he tells you he's going to do things. And so as we hit this muddy fire, that challenges us then. And don't get me wrong, because I've had just as much of a challenge as you've had in trying to stay in this place, because the witchcraft is so high right now because of them throwing the kitchen sink at us and everything, that literally we're being challenged to believe the word no matter what. So it's kind of like walking blindly. You're just trusting on blind faith. God's going to finish what he started. He's going to finish what he started. I can't sense anything. I can't feel anything. And that's the high level witchcraft coming at God's people right now. So if that's happening to you, then you're actually in the right place at the right time at all times. Let's say it's almost a compilation of C2 along with everything in the kitchen sink being thrown at us. So it takes us into Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 62:5, where it talks about God's promises becoming our prayers. You're only praying his promises right now. You know what he said to you. Your focus is still on him. I'm sorry. Your focus is still on him. And you're stepping into hopefully a new level of trusting him. That's the other key to the conversation. So Where does Muddy Fire take you? That's my question. Where does Muddy Fire take you? Where does it take your mind? Where does it take your heart? Where does it take your emotions? Because we've seen everything. We've seen everything the last week and a half where the witchcraft is coming at such high levels because they're desperate. I don't know about you, but they're desperate to stop the new move of God. They know that if this new move comes on the scene, it's going to bring revival. They know that it's going to bring true righteousness in Christ, which is the other part of this conversation today. But our promises should become our prayers right now. You're decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing. Doesn't mean you're decreeing your religious sense of self. You're decreeing only what you hear your Father saying. So where God is calling us is to move through muddy fire in order to obtain the promises of God. That's our next step. And regardless of what things feel like or look like or what you sense right now, you may not be sensing a whole lot of things because your fivefold senses are probably clouded with witchcraft right now. It's the same thing we went through in C2. That's why we teach you guys about all these different components as you walk through chamber 1, chamber 2, chamber 3, chamber 4 of God's heart. We're teaching you what to expect in each component. But I'm going to tell you too, every year it gets a little different. But if you've got the basic understanding of the patterns of what to look for, you can kind of reassess things and think, oh my God, they're repeating this in a new chamber. Because obviously the season that we're walking in. So the witchcraft's been kicked up. So we're able to discern strange fire versus Holy Ghost fire. We know his voice. You know his voice. And he says, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another. We're discerning about what's, hey Sonia, we're starting to sense exactly what sounds like God and what his voice sounds like versus man's voice versus the devil's voice in people or the witchcraft in them. That's what I'm talking about. Understanding the patterns, understanding the voice that you're listening to. So we understand and we're following him all the way through regardless of what's happening around us. Kind of like Paul had to get into. I'm going to get into Paul here in a second too, because Paul had a really turbulent walk with the Lord, but it was a good walk. He had a good walk. So the witchcraft during this particular C4 October is higher than in C2. Hey, Connie Hernandez. Good to see you this afternoon. Blessings. But it's higher. It's abnormally higher, which means a lot of strange fire has been whipped up all around you, either through the occult or through very dysfunctional people demanding their own way. So the Lord is teaching us now. I told you about, we've heard, you know, the different voices talking about the four people groups. Well, now God split off the fourth people group into two people groups where he's cleaning people up. He's forcing people to get cleaned up in order to come in deeper. And you can't demand your way to go further in Christ. You can't manipulate your way forward. You have to do it his way. You absolutely have to do it your way. And getting selfish and getting in this screwed up mentality that, oh, I'm just going to sabotage everybody. Well, I'm just going to do that. God's like, really? You think you are? Really? Then I'll send you to the end of the line. I'll send you. And that's what he showed me yesterday. Anybody that's trying to manipulate their way forward, he's sending them to the end of the line. He's going to start teaching people hard things because everybody, it costs you something to walk in the higher things of God. You don't just get to make yourself at home to God's house and say, I'm here. I'm coming in. I'm here, God. He's like, really? Get out. Get out of my house. He's like, I love you, but I don't like your attitude. I don't like your heart condition. And it doesn't match mine. So, hey, Joyce Rummer, good afternoon, everybody. I'm so surprised to see you guys this afternoon. I thought I was going to preach into blank air and just going to give a replay, but I'm glad to see you guys. It's good to see you. So anyway, if you know what the true prophets have spoken, the true prophets have spoken and judgment is here, which means we're here waiting for God to dispense his righteous wrath over evil people. That's what I'm sensing by the Spirit. I'm just sitting here waiting. And, you know, it's funny because we also have to be very understanding, too, that like Jonah, God sent Jonah into a land where he was going to minister judgment to these people. But then God saw their heart condition and he changed his mind. He changed his mind. They got repentant and they changed their mind. And so then Jonah got mad at God. And he's like, how dare you? I can't believe you didn't minister judgment. Well, it was God's will and God's intent all the time for these people to change their minds so they wouldn't get judged. But he also means for us to obey him and the things he's given us to do. And so he's got a mercy like that. I love that aspect of God. That's what we all want, right? We want people to change their minds about a few things and to work with God about a few things. But so God is urging right now. He's getting people in place, and he's urging the watchmen and all of God's people to pray. He's wanting us to stay on the wall. Don't give up your position in prayer right now because of your tiredness or because of your lack of focus or whatever you want to call it. Now it's not a time to lose focus. I don't care how much muddy fires in the atmosphere. Now it's not a time to lose your position, your time. It's not that time. Matter of fact, I would venture to bet you that if you follow through and keep praying, there is a blessing at the end of this test. Hello, God's telling you what's going on at the end of this test that you're walking through. I'm telling you, we just broke through another test that we just came out of 3 or 4 days ago with major anointing. Major anointing. Weighty presence of God. And so there are always blessings for your obedience. There's blessings for your obedience. Hey, good afternoon, Martina. Good afternoon, everybody. God, I'm so shocked. You guys are troopers, man. You're troopers this Friday evening. I'm serious. I was going to get on this thing, and then I'm going to get off and go get sushi. I'm always happy. Even being sick, well, you know what? If you're sick, there's probably mercy there for you. So, you know, God's not a slave driver. He's not a slave driver. He leads us beside still waters. He didn't drive us. Here, crack that whip. He's not like that. No, he's got mercy. So anyway, okay, so we're supposed to stay on the wall. And this experience is exactly what's happening on the international federal level. And it's what David experienced when he was running from King Saul. What he experienced when we've got a lot of people, if you're running in the new move and if you're running in this new anointing, you probably have a lot of Pharisees chasing you right now. A lot of people, it's almost reminding me of something like a lot of people drowning in the ocean with one life, what do they call it? A life coach, a lifeguard. There's a lifeguard. So it's almost like having one lifeguard to a zillion other people. And they see the one lifeguard, they see the light on him, and they see the anointing, and they start trying to grab on. It's like, get off me. That's not the way you're going to come in. God's going to bring you in. You're not going to drown. Chill out. You're not going to drown, but don't grab onto me. Grab onto him because he knows how to get you there. And so that's the place we're in right now, is we're starting to see these new Davids rise up, and these Sauls are starting to chase them. But Saul, you can't get stuck in the spirit of King Saul because he was stuck underneath the apparatus of religion in the spirit of Ahab. And he was always doing what was right in his own eyes. And again, I'm going to tell you, you cannot get into this new part of kingdom your way. You cannot. Everybody will come in the same way. Everybody will come in through testing. Everybody will come in through the process of getting delivered. There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but the end is death. And so there's no manipulating God in this process. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he requires from one, he requires from all. It's under that spiritual law. So the problem, though, and the reason God's doing things so differently, I believe, is that because God wants transformation. He wants to change us into true sons and daughters of the King. And that's the only way it's going to come about, is if we transfer out from an old system into a new system, to where we actually are transformed. So people see the difference between the old and the new. Or else, why would they want to participate? Think about that. Why would you want to be a part of something that was just like the thing you're coming out of, that had no firepower? So this is why God's demanding that we do it his way. And the Lord is saying, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, these are the stipulations that will keep you, that you have to follow. You have to get your heart worked on, because if you fall underneath these stipulations, you're not coming in. So I just want to clarify this for everybody. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What does that look like? What's the definition of unrighteous? Let's talk about that for a second. He said, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. Everybody takes this scripture for granted. They're always thinking, oh, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. And it is you. Some of it is you. Some of us were these people, or are these people. And he says, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor swindlers. People who try to come in illegally. So you're trying to come in, yet your heart condition is screwed up, and you refuse to acknowledge your heart condition or the things that are going on inside of you. I'm being blunt today. Very, very blunt. I always am, right? I'm always blunt. Idolatry. What is idolatry? That's a simple thing. How many people worship their job? How many people worship their spouse, their house, their children? How many people worship your car? All these dumb things we think don't matter. You worship all these things and you're proud about what you've accomplished. You've idolized yourself. Wow, you're not a champion in your own eyes. Whatever they call that. You've become a god in your own eyes. That's basically what it is. And so it's like, okay. So people dismiss that. They don't think that matters, that God doesn't see that. He doesn't care about. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. He recognizes that. And he's like, that's not me. You got to stay outside the kingdom until you deal with that. But then we talk about people that deal with maybe lusting after people. We're dealing with people that do it. They physically do it. They break covenant. Then we have people that deal with issues, you know, with physically lusting after people, lusting after other people's stuff. But people own, they're coveting their neighbor's house. It's the ninth of the Big Ten. You've already broken a Ten Commandment. It's the ninth of the Big Ten. And the Lord tells about that. He's talking about covetous people. He's talking about extortioners, swindlers, people who don't treat the sheep right. I'm going to get into this all in a second. People who try to steal from other people. He said it right here. And maybe you're being deceived, and maybe you're not a fornicator. Maybe you're not an adulterer. Okay. You're like, I'm off the hook. No, you're not. No, you're not. You still need to do a heart check. Check these other areas. Ask the Lord, am I coveting somebody else's stuff? Am I jealous of somebody else? Am I trying to manipulate my way to get my way? Because love never demands its own way, rather than what you understand. 2 Corinthians 10:13, God's given us all a portion of kingdom, and we're supposed to be grateful. We're supposed to be grateful for whatever that portion is. And so whether you're much or little, you learn to be content in all things, right? Right? So God is having us do a heart check right now. So what does unrighteous actually mean? Let's talk about this real quick. The definition of unrighteousness is this. This is in the Bible, by the way. It's based on 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, and it states, those who inflict injury on their brethren, or who defraud or circumvent others, who in short are intent upon their own advantage at the expense of injuring others. I didn't write this. I just found this in the Bible today. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It states this in the Bible. And you can dismiss different versions of the Bible, but people who truly know God are always trying to move towards being at peace with all men. I don't know what God you serve. That's the God I serve. Always being at peace with all men. They're not trying to manipulate their way through life. They're not trying to make a buck off the back of people. They're about the sheep. They're about loving the sheep and loving the sheep into healing, loving the sheep into true transformation. I'm not your God. I'm not your judge, but I'm telling you the truth today. That's why I'm here. Here to tell you the truth. That's my calling. So, however, all hearts, if you know anything about the heart conditions of man, not all hearts are truly righteous. It's hard to find warm, loyal, loving, godly people these days. Would you not agree? It's hard to find church groups where people are actually normal. They're not under the apparatus of religion, or they're not stuck underneath some spirit of Jezebel. It's hard to find these things these days. It's hard to find them. And so then we have people like myself who are called to these places to speak the truth back to people. And then we tick a whole lot of people off. They get really mad. Yeah. They light up our email addresses. And they're like, I hate you. I hate your guts. I don't know why you're preaching the gospel. I don't know why you're even here. I don't know who you think you are. I don't know who you think. I'm like, I don't know who I think I am either half the time. I'm just trying to serve the Lord. I don't know who I don't know. We're just all happy, one big happy family. Swipe on. That's what we tell them. That's our new catchphrase. Swipe on. We're going to have a t-shirt made with it. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. It's my calling. So I'm here to help you get realigned if you so choose to listen. But I mean, giving this new move group of people a hard time. We've been called into all truth. We've been born with a gift of love. which means some are given the gift of faith, others are given the gift of joy. Very few are given the gift of love from birth, which we've been lovers of truth since birth. Most of us can't stand people who don't operate in the truth because we don't know who they're going to be from one day to the next. They're chameleons. They'll adapt and be whoever everybody wants them to be at any given moment, be accepted into that people group. So they're people pleasing. They have a fear of man. And so they perform. They get into performance orientation. And they're prime candidates for the spirit of religion to attack them, for Jezebel and Ahab to attack them, because they're already been opened up to it. And they're a chameleon. They will just change their garment in order to work themselves into the crowd that they're operating in. And they usually take advantage. Let's move on. So right now, as I spoke on Tuesday, we have two people groups who are now divided, with one being left at the gates of the kingdom of God, not being allowed to enter because of lack of obedience. Hence, their heart conditions are being made manifest in this hour and how they're responding to the edict of the king or the Lord. Because he's refusing their demands to enter into his kingdom with evil hearts. This is serious. This is why people, I think, are freaking out in this hour. And they're like, who do you think you are? Who are you to tell me, Missy Hood or Dr. Missy Hood, who if I can enter into the kingdom or not? How dare you? Don't you know that I've been serving the Lord for 50 years? Don't you know that I have 50 zillion people following me? I'd be stressed out if I had 50 zillion people following me. I don't know, but I'm a private person. I don't like living in a fishbowl. But I'm just like, God didn't care. Didn't care. And so, you know, we're in this hour now, and God's saying it's my way or hit the highway. That's genuinely what he's saying. And so he's trying to get our attention, and he's refusing these demands of all these people who have made gods out of themselves and saying, well, do you know who I am, God? Do you know who I am? God's like, do you know who I am? That's what he's saying back to them. Do you know who I am? Do you even know my heart? Do you have any idea what my standards are? Because Jesus, my son, is that standard bearer. And you have yet to meet his standard. So therefore, why am I letting you into my house when you won't meet the standards required for being in the house? You built your own house, which is not of me, off the backs of my sheep. And he said, but only I build a house. Any others are built in vain. So we're in this place right now. And this also leads me to ask us, when we think ourselves more righteous than God, who determines the heart, and then you get offended. And I have to ask you, why are you getting so angry when things stop moving forward because you've refused God's stipulations for advancement? What are you so afraid of? And why are you getting angry at the people and the voices that are bringing you the truth, trying to help you get there? Sincerely. Because God's trying to help you, but stiff-neckedness or hard-heartedness will stop you in your tracks when trying to advance into love. So have you gotten stiff-necked? Have you gotten hard-hearted in your warring? He's been having our teams deal with that. Because either the fire is going to either tenderize you and make you more loving, or it's going to make you hard-hearted if you get caught up in strange fire. That's the whole crux to the whole conversation. So for the righteous, or those who have gotten their hearts cleaned up, I mean, you've been tenderized and you're coming into a place called Beulah, which means married. Do we not have a bridegroom coming to get us? He's coming back for a warring bride, a pure spotless bride. And so the Lord says that for those who haven't, he goes, he's got mercy for those who haven't. Because for those who haven't been faithful, you're welcome. I love you guys. But for those who haven't been faithful, who had once been divorced from the king, in their unfaithfulness and past seasons, but are now returning, God's like, making a way where there is no way. If you'll just listen and obey, just listen, quit freaking out in the water and trying to drown my lifeguards by thinking, oh my God, I got to grab onto this next move. I got to grab onto this next person. They're shaking you off like flies. They're like, get away from me. You look like a buffoon. Stop doing that. Just chill out. Let him show you. He will direct your footsteps. Start praying this. Psalms 37:23. God orders the footsteps of the righteous. That's what I always tell our people. If you don't know what to do with where you're at, whether it's in a precarious situation or in a stressful situation, God, order my footsteps. If you're in a test, God, order my footsteps. If you don't know how to take the test, God, order my footsteps so I pass all tests. If you don't understand what the next move is, God, order my thinking. Help me think rationally. Do you see how that works? Where you pass every test. We tell our people to do that all the time during C2. That's the only scripture you pray, along with the other ones he gives you, but that's the primary. Order my footsteps. Order my footsteps so I make it through this hard place and through your inspection, through the eye of God. So it's interesting because I'm sensing this new group coming forward now. And if you know anything about the new group coming forward, they're like a bunch of Josephs that have been in the fire for the past 30 years. Have you been in the fire for the past 30 years? Where God's been testing your gifts of love to see if you would stay true to love? To pass things across your path to see if you would recognize the truth from a lie? If you'd give up on love and you'd get mad because of having things taken away when once things were so well? And I don't know about you, but for me, I was like, what in the world happened to my life? And then the fire got hotter and it got hotter and it got hotter. And you're thinking, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do? But what we should have been asking ourselves is, what did you do to deserve this promotion? Oh, what did you do? Right. Maybe you're not being penalized. Maybe you're being promoted, Joseph. Or he takes you out of the pit and puts you in the palace. But God has been preparing, excuse me if I can talk. He's been preparing this new movement of vessels to serve him in all truth. And so to me, it sounds like a lot of people are fixing to have to get used to the truth being preached, or being preached. I can't talk today. We're going to have to get used to truth people. Truth people that's how you're going to recognize the new move. And I think a lot of these new people, including myself, have been put out on here. I know, right? I've been put out there on the scene by the Lord. And for the first, we've been in ministry now for almost 10 years. And I think next year will be our 10th year. But the first couple years was really, really hard because people were just like, who do you think you are? And I'd get such hateful emails from people. And I've gotten some stuff. And I used to not believe the stuff these people would send out to some of these leaders. And I'm like, you know, man, you'd be glad you're hiding behind your computer and not facing me head on, because we'd have a come to Jesus. Some of you need to come to Jesus with some of the ways these people act. And then they think nobody's ever going to hold them accountable for their behaviors and their hellish heart conditions. And God's like, I'm fixing to. I'm so fixing to. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, but it's interesting, you know, how people find up all this false courage and they pray like hell. They act like they're Joe Super whatever. And I'm just going to get you. I'm going to pray you down. And God's like, I'm fixing to beat your ever loving, you know what, if you don't get your butt out of the way because of you being in donkey's patoot, like I said, one of the other revs. And honestly, your sin will find you out. That's what you don't understand. You're reaping what you've sown when you start trying to return evil to people, especially evil. It says in the Bible not to ever repay good people with evil. You don't ever repay goodness with evil. And so when we get mad and we don't get our way and we start trying to demand it, God gets involved. He gets involved. And so these are part of the standards that God is pointing out in the hearts of man. And this is why he won't put his weapons into the hands of just anybody. It's because of people, these people that are drowning in the water out here, and they grossly abuse power. God is tired of people abusing his power. He's tired of people abusing his word and sending his spirit off their mouth into situations when he never gave them permission to. God says, if I didn't speak a thing, it has to fall to the ground. So if you're mixing the holy with the unholy, meaning your heart needs deliverance on something and you're praying the word of God for evil, do you really think God's going to honor your words? You're a Balaam's prophet. Makes you a Balaam's prophet. And so it also usually means probably you're operating in Jezebel or Ahab. So God doesn't honor those, he doesn't honor demonic entities, his word, to manipulate his people. Let's go back to the topic at hand. And so going back to where God's taking the body now, he's bringing him out of an old wineskin, and he's bringing him into a new wine. The new wine's full of truth, and it's strong truth. And so people that present it are those that drink it, those who participate and are lovers of truth. It's pure. And it's made for hearts who flow in it, because God said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. I don't know about you, but when we've been in this environment where no truth is being allowed, and we're seeing no truth in the news, no truth in any of the seven mountains, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some truth. How about you? How about you? I'm ready for some truth about right now. And so I believe that's where God's taking the body into, and he's been preparing us, and he depleted the truth out of the atmosphere on purpose. So when truth showed up in these vessels of this new move, people would be hungry for it. We'd be very hungry for it. So if you remember, first time that Jesus showed up in all truth, he shed his blood for sinners, where this new move of God, God's coming in, where sinners are going to shed their blood for him. You ever thought about that? And futile, and it's the people that are bucking him that are going to be shedding their blood, by the way, because it's a futile defense against God while he's making a year of jubilee a day of vengeance. He's coming back with a vengeance, and he's building his house his way. I heard that today. I listened to the Bible. These 15-minute reps, I listen to the word, and I listen to the spirit while I'm listening. I'm thinking, really? You're coming back with a vengeance? Well, of course he is. He's coming back to build the kingdom of God. He's bringing in the new Jerusalem. But we have people who are going to be bucking him all the way. We have got the unbelievers. We've got fake believers. And this is something else that's becoming really apparent to my spirit right now, which I've heard this thing, the scripture for years. And it's scary to think about it. We're seeing it come to pass now, where God is forcing hearts to do hearts and heart inspections, where we've heard the Lord say in the scriptures, men are going to come to me and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to say, get out of my house. I don't know you. Get out. You didn't act like me. You wouldn't change when I called you to change. You wouldn't. And they're going to say, but God, I was an apostle to the nation. God, I did miracles and signs and wonders in your name. God, I'm making it real for you. God, I was an intercessor. I stayed up all night praying to you. God, I sacrificed so much. And you're going to deny me entrance into your house? Why wouldn't he? I would. I'd take a heart like that and say, here's the door. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Boom, pow, shakalaka. Because how offensive is that attitude to the Lord? But yet this is the attitude of many of the saints right now. God, we think God's here to serve us. A lot of leaders think that. God's here to serve. I am my own God. They've become idolized. They've become a legend in their own mind. That's what they're becoming, a legend in their own mind. And so God is coming back, and he's trying to get the church to understand, not all who attend the Jubilee feast will be allowed into his house, which is why we're already seeing the gnashing of teeth because of bad heart conditions. Are those who find themselves left outside. They're angry, they're hurt over their own refusal. I mean, notice I said their own refusal. Nobody else made the choice for them. Their own refusal to get cleaned up. And their excuse? But Lord, again, I did signs, wonders, and miracles in your name. I prayed over the nations in your name. I went to the nations in your name. But the Lord is saying, all that's good and well, but you're still trying to build your own version of kingdom, not my own. Not my own. And you left out the most important thing, says the Lord, tending to the sheep while you tended to your pocketbooks out of greed and unrighteousness, because you were all swindlers, thinking I would overlook your misdeeds, which I have not, says the Lord. Because how you handle my people and train my people, help bring healing to my people in all truth, matters. That doesn't mean you overlook sin and you become a Jezebel saying, oh, we're just going to act like that doesn't matter. And just train up everybody in the same Jezebel, in the same being twice the sons of hell as your own fathers were. You don't get to overlook your own misdeeds. You get to own it. You get to own it in the season. So God's saying, if I point something out in your heart, own it. Be quick to own it. Quick to work on it. Ask for deliverance from it and start working on getting free. Don't just say, okay, I repented. It's done now. Oh, no. You get to get free. That would be an inclination to me to get my rear into deliverance ministry to make sure I was free. And then I would keep working on getting as free as I possibly could be. Don't just say, oh, little dabble do ya. I got free from one thing. Okay, good for you, man. You only got 1,000 other things to get free from. I'm not trying to be a perfectionist. I'm not a perfectionist, but I do know that it takes a lot of hard work to get into the kingdom. We're still going through deliverance daily. Our teams are going through deliverance. And so God is saying, I'm not here to build your name for all these leaders. I'm not here for your glory. Well, it says, but I'm here for mine. I'm not sharing my glory, and I'm not going to revel in your story. Lord says, if you're not here to glorify me, then you're in the wrong kingdom. That's what he's saying to these people. Let's move on. The word states that Jesus is coming back to defeat his own enemies while loving his people. So this is further proof then that he's all about the people. It's all about their hearts. And you know, my experience has been this as a leader. And I approached it this way from the get-go. And it was hard at first. I'm not going to say it wasn't hard. It was hard because it's hard to get to know people. But the most difficult thing is getting people to step outside of their insecurities while you're trying to get to know them as a leader and getting them to trust the Lord on your life. because the biggest problem in the church is that most of the church has been subjected to a lot of wolves right now. So their levels of trust are very low. They're very low. So it took me a long time. It's taken me through Christ in my life, almost 10 years, to get our groups into trust mode to where we can draw them into their truest sense of self, which I love, absolutely love. So what I've really found out is that the Lord has now got us in this place where we're operating as a team. And I learned this from my dad. I always talk about my dad on here. I know I talk about him probably too much, but I learned a lot of lessons from him in the short 22 years I had him. And my dad, I mean, he could pump you full of nuggets of prophetic and you wouldn't even know it. And then the Lord's just bringing them up out of me constantly. And I'm thinking, how do I remember that after all these years? Because of all the things he pumped into me. But he taught us how to be a team. He taught our family how to be a team. And he taught us what would happen. We had walked through situations with him in the military where some of his men didn't operate as a team. And it cost some of them their lives. When they got off into isolation and they got off into doing their own things. And it happened to him one night with a few of his younger lieutenants who'd gone off and they were sleeping underneath a tank. And my dad was so upset when he got home that Sunday. Because what they didn't know, these men had fallen asleep. And the tank, they got up the next day and they started the tank and it rolled over. It killed them all. And so they had to go and do reports and things like that. But my dad came home and he said, this is the purpose, Missy. He said, this is the reason. Hey, we didn't redact your message, Martina. I don't know why that did that. Can somebody help her? Anyway, I'll let them help you there. So, but he told us, he said, this is the reason, Missy. When I give you a directive, I want you to listen the first time. Because he was very upset and we knew he was upset. So we were just letting him talk about it. But he was very upset for these young men because three of them lost their lives. And after that, I got this, I was sitting with my dad out by the barbecue pit. And my dad used to always had a cold one. My dad was, he liked his star beer, but he was very, very, he was, and he would sit out there with his barbecue and his beer and he would just talk to us. And I went out there this one particular time, after, it was probably about 2 weeks after this happened with these men passing away. And my dad looked at me point blank and he said, Melissa Ray, this is the kind of nuggets I'd get. He said, you know what? You got to learn how to do. And I was like, no, sir. And he goes, there are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to deal with things and you're going to have to shut your emotions off. And you need to get over it and get on with it. And then you can deal with your emotions later on. Because if not, it can. And I'm like, why did you just tell me? I was like, why did you just tell me that? I'm like, that's kind of morbid, Dad. But I mean, I've used that nugget several times in my life because of different things that have happened. We have to shut your emotions off and deal with things and stay focused. I believe this is that time where we're walking through this hard place of October. And a lot of you need to shut your emotions off, stay focused, and get over it and get on with it. I'm telling you that for a reason. And it's hard to do when you're under stress and you're going through spiritual warfare and you're ready for things to come to a good ending. But if you don't stay on task, if you don't stay on task, intercessor, and you let these people and you let the witchcraft, because they're releasing macro spells right now on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. And they're releasing these spells to make us kind of like, I'm just tired of warring, God. I don't want to war anymore. I'll just let somebody else do it. Oh, yeah, everybody's saying that. What if everybody did that? Then nobody would be praying. And so he's saying, stay on task. Stay on task. I'm working this out for your good, and I'm doing it my way. It's going to happen in my time. I told you what I was going to do. I told you we're going to get your country back. Just stay on task. And it may not look like, feel like, you may not be sensing that happening. But the Lord says, I'm a good God. I can change things on a dime. You've seen me do it in your life before. That's why things are apt to change. Just trust me, says the Lord. Keep decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing. Okay? So let's get back to the message here real quick. So got off on that bunny trail real quick. So what God is saying, that a godly who continue to pray for God's people, wondering why God hasn't moved in judgment yet. The Lord says we have to remember that God's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. He's always trying to give people the opportunity to change before judgment hits. But that door is quickly closing now, says the Lord. And as we enter into muddy fire, which acts as Custer's last stands, because God's holy fire is about to hit, the Lord says those of you who keep going back and you keep making the bad, it's a bad habit, where you think God's not going to judge you. And you give God his repentance. Oh, I'm sorry, God. But you go right back in acting like hell. The Lord says, this is not that time you want to be doing that. Because I will judge you. The Lord says, I'm expecting complete change. I'm expecting you to do what's right instead of what's right in your own eyes. And then you keep listening to all these Jezebels around you and people that keep giving you this bad advice and drawing you back into sin. Do you not think that the enemy's not trying to take you out? Especially if you're a high-powered leader. The Lord... You don't understand, the occult is targeting a lot of high-powered leaders right now where God is trying to get you to repent and turn so that you don't burn, okay? I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, but I'm saying you could go home early. And so the occult's strategy is try to get a house divided because a house divided against itself will fall. And so he's trying to get people to work against people in the body where you're being used as a, what do you call it, friendly fire. You're being caught up in friendly fire. And the Lord's saying, that's not my way. That's not my will. So he's not accepting these attitude of these poor excuses of, oh, I'll just repent right now and then I'm going to go right back and I'm going to pray like hell against you. God's like, no, you need to clean it up ASAP, double time fast. Clean it up. Because that judgment's coming in hard. God says, I'm coming in hot. You better change. So if we truly are at the end of a thing, as God readies those who are readying themselves for kingdom advancement, you're already going to be sensing this shift. But it's time for God's true remnant now, Lord saying, to come home. You need to come home. You need to come into my glory. You need to come back into my love. Back to where you're in the city of the Lord. Because this season, God is trying to help his people come back into true righteousness instead of settling for the counterfeit. He's tired of you settling for the counterfeit. And this new group, this new move of God, Lord's saying, this group that has made their heart steadfast once they've gone through the transformation process, he says they won't ever turn their backs on God again. Matter of fact, they'll be true, high-powered standard bearers for this next generation. They know how to come into the true heart of God. So they know what love looks like, feels like, acts like, and people won't be confused about it. Which takes us into Philippians 1, 27 through 2:18. And we're going to be talking about Paul. I told you we're going to be talking about Paul. And Jesus Christ, if you know anything about Philippians 1:27 through 2:18, Jesus Christ's name is mentioned 18 times. You ever counted that? Go count that. And he depicted, because Jesus is the standard bearer, and I believe that he was actually the standard that Paul was modeling in living his life out for Christ and his love for the saints. Paul loved the saints once he got saved. And I did not know that. Actually, Paul was not my favorite person in the Bible. Peter was. But as I've gotten to know Paul, I love Paul. Paul was fiery. He loved the Lord, but he also loved God's people. And what I'm finding as a leader is that God is taking all leaders right now into this place where we have this love for the sheep like never before. I mean, it's just, I don't even know how, it just came through Christ, where I got cleaned up for Christ. And it's not saying that God's not going to be truthful, but you know, God might not have made your personality to want to deal with people. And you're thinking, well, I'm an apostle. That's not my job. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Even though you're a builder, God, you got to have a love for the sheep. Paul was an apostle. So he's bringing us all back. We're all balanced. And we understand what love looks like, feels like, acts like. So that we all stay in line with the truth, right? So this is the same way Jesus walked through the earth. And it's because if we aren't truly here to help the sheep, what are you in this profession for? What are you doing a shepherd's position for? Are you just here to build up your own ego? Or did you see an opportunity years back and you're thinking, I can make a lot of money there? Using people, abusing people? How offensive is that to God? Because this isn't about money. And don't get me wrong. I'm not religious. I like nice things and I understand the word where it says a worker's worthy of their hire. I get all that. I believe in all that. But I also will not ever attain nice things at the hand of taking advantage or working off the backs of innocent sheep. I'm not going to do that. And if you know anything about Paul, Paul was a tent maker. He made his living on his own dime and what God had given him privately. But he never took advantage of the sheep. Which is why I believe God is replacing the unrighteous shepherds right now. No matter how much they whine or complain to try to make up for the wrong they've already incurred. Because God's not changing his mind. Once God makes up his mind, he doesn't change his mind. Go read the book. Read the book. So this new plan has been activated and God's moving us forward. So this is the new true fellowship of love and what it looks like to be around loving people. And Paul understood difficulty, understood what this would cause him. So the more you come into love, you should experience, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but more persecution. Because the world's not so loving right now. Have you noticed that? As the darkness gets darker, the light gets lighter. And so the lightness is the love of God that should be coming up on your vessel. If you're not, you're not getting in, you're not replicating Christ. You're not emulating Jesus. You're just staying under an apparatus and you're a wolf. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing. So, pardon me, but Paul understood this very, very well. And whether he was blessed or not, he understood it and he still loved the sheep. And he was well acquainted with walking and speaking against the Pharisees. How well are you in maintaining the truth? Because once he stopped being a Pharisee, if you know this about Paul, he became attacked by them. How many people or leaders have turned against you for getting free and stepping into true love? Seen it, living it out. And it's only because they themselves are stuck in self-righteousness, which makes them look like fools. Which I'd have to ask them, what are you so afraid of? Being wrong? Because you are. You're so stuck under the apparatus of religion in your thinking and in your speech and your false advertisements of who you think God is versus who he says and demonstrates he is. You don't have time for the sheep. You don't even care about the sheep half the time. You just enjoy what the sheep give to you. But Paul experienced this. He called them out on this. And he also got into a lot of dangerous positions because of his stance and his refusal to walk away from the truth in Christ. And at the hands of his enemies, he suffered for Christ's sakes. And so he came to know Christ intimately. And the one thing he came to know, which is what I believe God is telling us today, is that if even if you suffer for my sake, you have nothing. I'm so sorry for that dog. Oh my gosh. I am so sorry. I'm in my office. But Paul came to know Christ in a way that he knew that no matter what he went through, he had nothing to worry about, because if God be for him, who could be against him? So the Lord's saying to you, stand your ground and keep walking on, love warrior. Keep walking on. But being intimidated by your enemies, because it's a sign that they're going to be destroyed and you're going to be saved. It's in the Word. Go read Philippians 1:27 through 2:18. I pulled that out of that scripture. It states it. Quit being intimidated by your enemies. This is a sign they're going to be destroyed and you're going to be saved, even in the midst of this great struggle. Which brings us to Psalm 72:1 through 20. Knowing who you are and when it's time to yield. You know when it's time to say, Uncle? You know when it's time to yield to God's will? Solomon did, and he knew he couldn't succeed without God's help. He'd seen his father's struggles. He saw his father's faux pas and his mistakes, and he made it a point. He started off well, but he didn't end very well. And it's only because he got lax in his older age when he got tired. He knows you're tired. He knows where you're at. But see, the thing is that you have the capacity to ask for new strength. A Christian should never get tired. Jesus is the door for the sheep. Okay? So all you have to do is say, Lord, he lives in you. He lives in you. Ask for new strength. He's faithful to give you. And to the average Joe, you're thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have any more to give. Yes, you do. Because you want to know what he's doing to you right now? This is just coming into my spirit. The reason why you're being stretched in your strength, the reason why you're being stretched in your finances, the reason why you're being stretched with strange fire is to teach you to develop the mind of Christ, but it's to develop you and prepare you for the level of blessing he's having you step into. If you can't handle it in the fire right now, how are you going to handle the blessing once it gets here? All this hoopla, you've heard about the transfer of wealth? It's right behind it. It's right on its coattails. Let that drive you. Let that encouragement lead you, drive you. Let it be the piece of cheese that just keeps you going like the ever ready bunny. And so, you know, you can do what he's called you to do. You want to know why? Because God made you. And if he made you, he knows how he equipped you. And he knows how, hey, Sylvia Cole, it's good to see you. He knows exactly what it's going to take in order for you to step into this new place. He's stretching you. He's making room for himself in order for your spirit man to handle the new level. Let him in. Go get free. Why do you think he's trying to get you free? It's to help you step into the new. You're coming out of the old and into the new. And Solomon knew that it's one thing to start off well, but we need to finish well. And it takes a disciplined heart in order for that to happen. You know what? I'll say this for myself too. I didn't always, in my past, I've always kind of been like a last minute person. And I seem to always push the bill right up until the very last minute when God wanted me to come in, and he'd come out and he'd be saying, hey, come on inside. It's time for you to come in, Missy. It's time for you to come into me. And sometimes I'd listen, sometimes I wouldn't. And I usually paid a high price for not listening. I've tested God like that. Just as stupid as some other people. I'm just going to be honest. But it was because I knew, I kind of sensed where he was trying to take me. And it's like, you got to be kidding me, right? Not me. You have somebody else better in mind, right? Because you've seen what I've walked through, right? And God's like, yeah, I want to use you. I pulled all my disciples off the boat dock. Come on, let's go. And I love that about the Lord, because he's just so authentic, and he's just like, come on. And so I'll get into that another day. But yeah, I had a conversation with somebody and they're like, you know, that God calls pastors under Bishop so-and-so to learn. And I was like, oh, he does? I don't think that's me. And she was like, what? Missy, what? So it's taken me a second. This is what he's calling me into, to be a pastor. So it's like, you want me to do this? If you knew my background, you'd run. But that's what he does. He calls the disciples off the boat dock. So right on, I'm accepting it. Here we go. And God's still good. I love him as my dad. But yeah, in this season, this is what's different about this season. This entails you. This includes you, for all of us. This season is so different because of what the next step is. That if you don't get this step right, you won't ever enter into the next step. You've got to get free. And this season, I'm learning to follow God implicitly because of the place that we're stepping into right now. I listen. I obey. I obey the first time. You didn't ask me 50 times. I'm not going to lie and tell you I don't have times with where we're at right now. With why I wonder if I'm hearing him right. We test the spirit. He confirms himself in twos or more. So I'm just like, just as human as you guys. But at the same time, too, I have great spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, and none of them are religious. They give great oversight. So no thank you to those of you spiritually self-righteous people out there wanting to lend a hand. We don't need it. Thanks. We're good. We're good. God's got this. And he knows how his heart works, as well as the people he's put his gift of love into. So we automatically have the key from birth in that. And I'm not trying to be arrogant and telling you that. I'm just telling you, no thanks. I don't want your help. I don't want your spirit of religion. To work on you. God's got me. Just like he's got you. But we have two different callings. Don't focus on mine. Focus on yours. But this new place is supposed to be a place where Jesus is going to teach us to rule and reign in. That's why it's so significant. We're going to be learning to reign with him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's God. We're not. Best from that. But it's also a place where refreshing showers are going to be coming in to you and extended to those who are coming in around us instead of the tumultuous storms brought on by the spirit of religion. Do you understand the difference between the two when you're underneath truth versus you're underneath the spirit of religion? You leave someone, if you're in a church congregation and you don't leave encouraged, something's wrong. Hopefully today you're leaving refreshed. But this is the difference. And I'm not a tell-all be-all. I'm just telling you the difference so you discern the two. So it's time to yield to God's will in his ways. If he's told you to back off and you're doing certain part of the kingdom and he's having somebody else do another part, obey. He knows what he's doing so you don't get judged. Which brings us to Proverbs 24. 11 through 12. And it states this while we wrap this up today. We're right on the money. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Pull back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he weigh the heart to perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Wow, I didn't know that said that. So, if that doesn't minister to you, I think he wrapped it all up in a nutshell, to be honest with you. He's telling us exactly what he's going to do. He always does. That's what I love about my revs and spending time with him, because he always tells us what he's going to do. He doesn't leave us in a lurch wondering what the next step is. He's showing you day by day on Tuesday and Friday if you're tracking with me. But if you're looking for a church home, I'm glad you joined me today, by the way. I'm glad to see you guys. Looking for a church home, you can't really see it right now. Let me see if I can find my banner here. I should have done that a while ago. I'll move it up under Faith Clicks. There you go. Underneath there, so you can hopefully see the banner. It's right there. Ezekielswill.org. Hopefully, we're encouraged today. If you're looking for more insight, intercession, pray new runners. There's a reason for it. Not everybody's called to front run. It doesn't mean we're being discriminative. It's just that's the calling. Some are given the gift of love, others faith. Dang. And so we're trying to train you to come up into higher level intercession because you're called to that in the body of Christ. So hopefully that's you. Let us reach out. Let us know. YeshuaNavigator@gmail.com. We'd love to help you. We also take you through an extensive deliverance program. We're getting ready to get that jump started again the first of the year. And so we're going to help in the body, doing what God's calling us to do. And then hopefully that's you. But if I don't see you the rest of the day, I hope you go have yourself a great Friday evening. I'm getting ready to go grab sushi. Ooh, yeah. And if I don't see you, then I'll see you Tuesday on the 15-Minute Rev. Have a great night, guys, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.